You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Somebody else needs a shirt. Somebody needs pants. If you need an ID and you don't have $14 or $15 or $19, that's a lot of money. We try to help people, and we do not carry over with a huge bank account any year. We do everything through donations. We're self-supporting through your contributions and people in the community that feel like we're doing good works and tithes. Good works and deeds. We appreciate y'all. If you got some money you want to give, put it in the box. You don't, snarl at it and walk away. That's your bell. Who does not have a Bible? Raise your hand. Anybody wants a Bible, raise your hand. I'm serious, because This Dr. Lambert is going to have you thumbing through your Bible. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. Sammy, go give these people. They're right there next to Mother. That's my mother, everybody. Wave at Mom. Everybody wave. See all these people need Bibles? Sammy, they're waving. Got one over here. Sammy got his arm up. He's got bad breath. I don't know. Needs deodorant. We buy that too if you want it, brother. Everybody good? Okay. Now, listen. We got, like I said, we got a very special speaker. I want to tell y'all, tonight when you say your prayers, say a prayer for Leland. He got a good report in Dallas. Leland has kidney stones the size of golf balls. And he's one of the toughest guys I know. I kid you not. He burned himself falling in a steam room. That's why I took all the hide off of him. Never complained. Got up here and preached every Thursday night. Has kidney stones. I have a kidney stone. I'll be doubled over in the bed eating hydrocodone. Leland comes up here and preaches to y'all, and he doesn't miss a night. He got a good checkup in Dallas, and he's with some good friends of this program that were the founders of this program. So if y'all have a chance, I want you to pray for all those people tonight, because they have some special needs. We pray for all y'all every night. Now, once Dr. Lambert comes up here, Charles is going to do a special. Once Dr. Lambert comes up here, I don't want anybody to get up until he's through. He's just going to be here a short while. We got less than, oh gosh, I'm running too fast. You got a whole 40 minutes to speak tonight, Dr. Lambert. You're going to sing 10 more minutes. All right. But long song, all 44 verses of Amazing Grace. Once he gets started, y'all give him the dignity of sitting tight and don't move, okay? And when we say it's over, it's over. Y'all run back in there and get you another soda and get ready. We're here to have a good time to worship the Lord and do what he's called us to do. Thank you very much.
Charles? Well, thank you, Craig. I love it when Craig does the announcements. Leland does a great job of everything he does, but I love it when Craig does the announcements. He just kind of lightens it up. And so we're going to try to make it a little more serious again right now, because we're fixing to have a wonderful message from Dr. Lambert. But one of the greatest gospel songs ever written was How Great Thou Art, and everybody tried to do it. I'm sorry, but I think Elvis Presley probably did the prettiest arrangement of it I ever heard. Yeah, and I wish I could sing it like Elvis, but I can't. But I'm going to sing it like me, and I sing it from my heart. I pray this song a lot of times when I'm out walking, because I had them put the words up on the board. If you know the song you'd like to sing along with us, you'd be more than welcome to sing along with us. But this is our special for this evening, and it's How Great Thou Art.
Display
how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. That's a great song. I love it. It's all yours, Brother Robert.
I'm gonna need that mic.
You're gonna need this mic.
Hey, Mike.
All right, use that mic right there. Just warm it up.
PhD, huh?
PhD.
Y'all do know I do have a PhD. Y'all know what a West Texas PhD is? Post hole digger. I am a post hole digger. And my book's upside down. Thank y'all for being here. I appreciate it. Let's have a word of prayer if you don't mind. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we just thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to speak to these good people. Lord, I just pray that you would hide me behind the cross. I pray that they wouldn't see me, but they would see you. Lord, I just know that there are people here that don't know you as Savior, Lord, and I just pray that you'd touch their heart today. Lord, use me to speak to them, and we'll give you all the praise and glory. It's in your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. Speaking of PhD, you're not supposed to get up here without telling a joke, so here's a joke. There was this PhD, okay? He was... PhD stands for Doctor of Philosophy. I didn't know that till a couple of years ago, but this PhD was an expert in science. And he was working for this university and made a name for himself. And the university decided to send him out on a speaking tour. So they get him this chauffeur, and this chauffeur drives him around. He's got his little, you know, chauffeur hat and chauffeur uniform on, and they go all around the country, and they're doing these speaking engagements and making thousands and thousands of dollars. And so one day this chauffeur is up there driving, and the professor knew that he was mad. And he said, "What's wrong?" He said, "It's just not fair." He said, "What do you mean, what's not fair?" He said, "I've been watching you all this time make this same speech and make this big money that you make. And here I am making, just barely getting by being a chauffeur." He said, "It's not fair." He said, "I've been listening to you. I've been sitting in the back every time you spoke, and I can do that speech as good as you can." And the professor said, "All right, I'm going to break you from sucking eggs. Here's what we're going to do. You pull over in that rest area, and we're going to change clothes. We're about the same size." He says, "I'm going to drive you, and you're going to do the speech." So they get to the school, and the chauffeur in the professor's suit walks up, and he starts giving his speech, and the real professor's in the back wearing the chauffeur's uniform. So he gets wound up, and I mean, he's going, and all these eggheads in the room, they're all hooping and hollering, "Man, this is great," just cheering and applauding. So the dean of the school comes up after he gets through and says, "We now will have a short period of time where you will be able to ask the professor some questions." So the chauffeur's standing there, you know, his eyes about that big around. And so he stands up, and this kid stands up, kind of, you know, got them big horn-rimmed glasses and the pocket protector and all that stuff. So the kid asks him some question like, What are the three top noble elements, gaseous elements, and how do they relate to the three noble solid elements?" And the chauffeur just looks at the guy and says, "How long have you been going to this school?" He said, "I'm a senior. I'm about to graduate." He said, "In all my years of teaching and education and doing this speech, that's about the dumbest question I've ever had a student ask. That is so simple. I'll tell you what, that question is so simple and so dumb, I'm going to have my chauffeur in the back stand up and answer the question." So, y'all had the professor up here, which is Leland. Now you've got the chauffeur. That's what them Idlewood guys are saying right now. Say, "Hey, that's the bus driver. What's he doing up here?" Well, the bus driver's wondering what the bus driver's doing up here too. So, well, I'm gonna do two things. I'm gonna give you my testimony, and then I'm gonna talk to you a little bit about the solution to my testimony. This is gonna surprise everybody. My pastor's back there. And when he hears this, he's probably going to wish I wasn't up here. In 1982, I was arrested and charged with capital murder. Does that surprise anybody? Not only was I arrested for capital murder, I was guilty. And I knew I was guilty. But I got away with it for a long time, and then all of a sudden I didn't get away with it anymore. And I found myself in a jail cell. Everybody quiet. So they came in and said, "Do you have an attorney?" "No, I don't have an attorney." "Would you like an attorney?" "Well, yeah, I think I better have one since I'm facing capital murder charges." So they said, "Well, we're going to get you the public defender." And I thought, oh boy, the public defender. This is not good news, is it? Because this guy's probably not all there. He probably doesn't. He's probably the public defender because he can't get on with a law firm and that sort of stuff. So I think I'm cooked. So the public defender comes to see me, and I'm sitting there in my jail cell, and he tells the jailer, says, "Let me in there so I can talk to him." And the jailer said, "Are you sure?" And I said, and he said, "Yeah, let me in." So I get in there, and I'm looking at this guy, and he's not much to look at, but there just was something about him. He had this confidence about him. He had this kind of sense of authority, and I said, "Well, I might as well just hear what he has to say." So he's telling me, he says, You've been charged with capital murder. Are you guilty?" He said, "The first thing you got to do here is you got to be honest with me. I can get you off, but you got to be honest with me, and you got to trust me, and you got to do everything I tell you to do." I thought, I don't have any other options. I said, "I'll do it." He said, "Okay, are you guilty?" I said, "Yes, I'm guilty." He said, "Okay, here's what we're going to do. You're going to trial tomorrow. You're going to go before the judge tomorrow." And I'm like, there's not much time to prepare here. I mean, I know how this stuff works. And I said, "Can you delay it?" He said, "Nope, we're going to get it over with. And I'm going to get you off." And I said, "Okay." He said, "Remember, I said, trust me." So we show up in the court the next day. And we're sitting there the defendant's on one side and the prosecutor's on the other side. So I'm sitting there, you know, and he says, "Okay, here's what we're going to do. He's going to ask you to stand. He's going to read the charges. And he's going to ask you, how do you plead? When he asks you how you plead guilty." And I looked at him and said, "What? Plead guilty. You said you'd trust me." I said, "You're right, I did." So I pled guilty. But the next thing he told me was, "And he's also going to ask you to confess your crimes. And you confess them all, everything you've done." I'm thinking, this can't turn out good. This can't turn out good. So sure enough, the judge comes in and everybody rises and be seated and all that stuff. And my attorney stands up and says, stands up with me, and the judge says, "How do you wish to plead on this charge?" And I said, "I wish to plead guilty." He said, "I appreciate that. I appreciate your honesty. But I want you to also confess your crimes." So I confessed them all, every one. And the judge heard him, and he looked at me and he said, I appreciate your honesty, but I'm going to go ahead and pass verdict." And he said, "Based on the charge of capital murder and the other crimes that you confessed, I sentence you to death. Execution to be carried out immediately." And my heart just sunk. I thought, I'm doomed. That's it. Well, my lawyer stood up and he said, he looked at me and said, "You still trust me?" I said, "Yeah, I still trust you." So he said, "Your Honor, may I approach the bench?" So he went up to the front, and of course, you know, the smarmy little prosecutor went up there, and they were talking. It was real quiet. I couldn't tell what they were saying. And the judge was nodding his head every time my attorney said something. And every time the prosecutor said something back, he shook his head no. So I thought, well, this looks pretty good. So here in a minute, the prosecutor just starts jumping up and down and screaming. I'm like, man, this guy's losing his mind up here. So the judge said, escort the prosecutor out of the courtroom. So the prosecutor was escorted out. And I'm standing there, it's just me and the judge and my attorney. And the judge told my attorney, said, you need to face the defendant. And my attorney said, the judge said, your attorney has just offered to take your place in the death chamber. And I'm going to allow him to do so. And I just, what? I have never heard of such a thing. So, a lawyer, you don't all know lawyers. Anybody ever dealt with a lawyer? But he took my place. And as soon as the judge said that, sentence to be carried out immediately, they marched my lawyer off and executed him. That's not the end of the story, though. Now, I'm going to tell you where it gets good, okay? Y'all have been coming up here, some of you, for a while, and you've probably seen this little card right here on the table back here in the back. What I'm going to preach and what I'm going to talk about tonight is on this card. Everything I'm going to talk about, part of it's on the front. There's some scriptures here. Part of it's on the back. Everybody know what that is on the back? It's a calendar, right? Okay, I'm going to start off, and I'm just going to go through these scriptures just one at a time, very quickly. First one I'm going to go through is, and if you've got a Bible, if you'd like to turn to it, it's going to be in Romans. Everything's going to be in Romans. Chapter 3 is where I'm going to start. Romans 3:23 says this, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me put this in TDJC terms. For all have committed capital murder and have been sentenced to death. A couple of words there. We got to make sure we understand. Everybody understand what the word all means? All have sinned. Everybody, all of us in this room, myself, the pastor back there at the soundboard, nobody's excluded. Here's Psalm 14:3. I'm going to read this to you. You don't have to turn there. They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Nobody, everybody on earth, nobody's excluded. Another word we need to define is sin. Everybody thinks, oh, it's just a little sin. Oh, it's a little white lie. That one little sin is what keeps you separated from God. One little sin. Ezekiel 18:4 says this, behold, all souls are mine as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Another term I want to define is come short. Anybody ever see The Matrix? Anybody a Matrix fan? I love The Matrix. Remember in the first one where Neo is going to learn to be a internet superhero and he's going to jump from one building to the next and he doesn't quite make it. He fell short. So he has fallen short of the building. What we don't want to do is fall short of the glory of God. Daniel 5:27 says this, "Thou art weighed in the balances and are found lacking." That's pretty bad news on that page, isn't it? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now we're going to go to Romans 5:12. It's going to be right there pretty close. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Okay? Everybody's saying, now hang on a minute. Aren't we all created in the image of God? Anybody ever been told that? That we're all created in the image of God? Do I look like I was created in the image of God to you? Genesis 1:27 says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them." That's what that sounds like, doesn't it? Adam and Eve, the first man and woman. But if you read a little further, Leland likes to say, we stop reading before God stops teaching. So Genesis 5:3 says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth." We're not created in the image of God, we're created in the image of Adam. Okay? So that sin goes from Adam all the way down to us. Doesn't really sound fair, does it? I mean, you say, I just want God to be fair with me. Is that what you really want? I don't want God to be fair with me. This is what's fair. Go to Romans 6:23. First part of that scripture says this, "For the wages of sin is death." Anybody here got a job? How would you like to... You know, you go home to your wife or whoever and you say, "Well, what'd you get paid today?" "Death." You earned it, right? Wages of sin is death. Now wait a minute. Now let's go back to what I was talking about earlier, me being convicted of capital murder. Y'all think that's just a made up story? Maybe in the sense that, was I convicted in the state of Texas for capital murder? Yeah, you might say that. But listen to this. 1 John 3:15 says, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer." Okay? "And you know that no murder hath eternal life abiding in him." Well, I don't hate anybody. Well, how about this one? Matthew 5:28. And these Idlewood guys know what I'm talking about here. "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." Sound familiar? But that's not the end of the story. That's not the end of that scripture. The first part, "For the wages of sin is death." Then you get the next part. But if you want to really learn about God, look up the word "but" everywhere in the Bible and do a Bible study on it. It will amaze you what God does after the word "but" in the Bible. "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Not through getting yourself right. How many of you say, "Well, I'm going to clean myself up and start going to church"? No, you're not. How many of you say, "Well, I'm going to do this or that or the other, and I'm going to start helping the poor"? And one way. Jesus Christ is the only way. No other way. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 says this, For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So up there at the top, where we're talking about the wages of sin, that's what we earned, okay? And at the bottom it says, but the gift of God is eternal life. It's a gift. It's free. You don't work for it. You do what the lawyer told me to do. Do you believe me? Do you trust me? Will you do what I tell you? That's it. That's all you have to do. Okay, let's go to Romans 5:8. Very, very simple here. But God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Okay, wait a minute. Shouldn't it be that when we cleaned ourselves up and got good enough, Christ died for us? Would never happen if that was the case. Because we can't clean ourselves up. I found that out. If you follow me during the day, you would find that out. I make mistakes, I foul up. I let a few little bad words slip out. Which is why you guys on the bus, when y'all are back here in the back and I hear the language, that's why I don't fuss at you about it. You know why? Because I don't want you to try to clean yourself up from the outside. I want God to clean you up from the inside and let that shine out. And if you want God to clean you, if you want to clean up, God will clean you up. All you have to do is ask Him. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10, verse 9 and 10 says this. And here is all you have to do, guys. Two verses is all you have to do. Actually, one. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, confess with your mouth, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Period. That's it. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's as simple as that. If you come down to the front and kneel for 2 minutes, that's all it takes. 2 minutes to change the rest of your life. Romans 10:13 says this. This is it in a nutshell. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't say get baptized anywhere there, does it? Doesn't say join the church. Doesn't say straighten yourself up. That's it. And I don't know what else I can tell you other than that. But I have given you a little problem here. You see, I'm obligated by my Savior to tell you about Jesus. It's up to you what you do with it. It's up to you whether you say, yeah, I'm just going to sit here and kick back and eat another brownie here in a minute and then go back to the house. Or do I do something about it? Do I make a change in my life? Are you satisfied with where your life's been going? Are you satisfied with what's gone on the last few years with you? Do you want to make a change? God can make a change. You can't make it, but God can make it. One last thing. I told you I was going to preach both sides of this. Now I'm going to preach this side. A calendar. On this calendar, there's 365 days. On January 1st, we start a new calendar. This time next year, I would be willing to bet in a crowd this size, there will be at least one person in this room who won't be here anymore. There is a calendar date somewhere in the future with your name on it. And if you let that calendar date pass and you leave this life You can't go back and make this decision. You have to make this decision in this life if you want to grab that next life. Everybody bow your head. Let's pray. Nobody looking around. I'm going to give a short invitation here, just a time to make a decision. Nobody looking around. If raise your hand if you would say, Robert, I got saved, and I know I'm saved, but I've walked away from the Lord, and I've just got to get myself straight. I see y'all's hands. I appreciate that. That's kind of the first step. I've been a believer, and I know I'm saved, but I just need to walk back to God. Now, I got another question here. How many of you would say, there's a date on that calendar with my name on it? I don't know when that is, but it's fast approaching. And I cannot honestly say, if I died today, that I would go to heaven. If that's you, raise your hand. I don't know I'm saved. Appreciate that. Y'all can put your hands down. Had a few raise their hands. Okay, head still bowed, eyes still closed. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you and we thank you that you met with us today. Lord, I didn't do an adequate job, but I just pray that you would use it anyway.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.